Support for WPR comes from Lawrence University in Appleton, a national liberal arts college and conservatory, offering a global education with internships, research, and study abroad programs. More at lawrence.edu.
Support for WPR comes from the Center for Healthy Minds, celebrating their 15-year anniversary with The World We Make. September 26th at the Wisconsin Masonic Center in Madison. Open to the public. CenterHealthyMinds.org.
Well, I certainly like the contrast, but there's also a similarity between the fast-slow-fast arrangement and also somewhat of a mirror of the sonata form of the ABA in both the first and last movements of each set.
And in some ways less conspicuous probably in the Debussy than it would be in the Schubert. So these images from which we'll be hearing three pieces from book two of Debussy from 1907, do you want to give us a gloss of each one as we go along, or do you want to set them all up and then
I'll set them all up. Yeah.
All righty.
Okay, so the first one, Bells Heard Through the Leaves, supposedly inspired by a walk on a rainy day in the countryside. Debussy took very hold, heard the bells of a nearby church tolling, and so you can hear these bell sounds ringing out while you hear these rustling figures, kind of like the leaves of the countryside. The second one, And the Moon Descends on the Temple That Once Was, reminds me of kind of a Asian artwork where you see a lone man in the country next to a soul building that may be perhaps a temple, but is no longer there. Very sparse and stark. And the last one, Goldfish, pretty easy to hear the glittering, cascading sounds of the water and the fish darting about, supposedly inspired by the lacquer panel that Debussy had of a goldfish in his workplace.
Probably no other composer was more influenced by, well, poetry, but also by the visual arts than Debussy.
Especially the Asian art.
It was true, yeah, which was becoming much better known in Western Europe by the early 20th century. So from 1907, it's going to be book two of the Image by Debussy, and that will be, how did you translate the first one again?
Bells Heard Through the Leaves.
Bells Heard Through the Leaves, and then the moon descending on the temple, and finally, Goldfish.
Thank you.
Goldfish, and before that, And the Moon Descends on the Temple That Once Was, and before that, starting the set of three, that would be Bells Heard Through the Leaves. Those are the image, piano images from 1907 by Claude Debussy, played live in our Buck studio this Wednesday afternoon by my guest, Mark Valenti, who hails of late, at least, from the Chicago area and graces this studio from time to time. And it's always interesting to hear, you know, what you're discovering. Before we take a break, some of the techniques that Debussy uses there that don't seem to have been used before, do you have a sense of what they would be?
He certainly exploits the sympathetic vibrations with the damper pedal raised. And so the harmonies, the way they blend, has a lot to do with the use of the pedal, and certainly the orchestral levels of having bells ring out and fluttery notes, fluttery figures in the middle, and that sort of thing. Very pianistic. You know, he, like all the great piano composers, he constantly experimented looking for ways to utilize the keyboard to come up with unique peculiar sounds and techniques. He strikes me as one of the first to really approach the piano on its own. So much up to that time was influenced by the voice and opera and that sort of thing, and trying to get instruments to imitate the voice. But here we have is it's like, you know, it's capable of its own unique sounds. And so you hear more and more of that. And then there's the obvious factor of him abandoning a lot of the traditional harmonies and building chords and harmonies based on seconds and fourths and instead of the traditional thirds, and added spicy notes to color it up, even when he uses a traditional approach to harmony here and there, it'll have a lot extra notes that the jazzers picked up on.
I was going to say
40
yes.
years later. Yeah.
Turns up in jazz, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Debussy.
Call them color tones, interestingly enough.
Yeah, I know you're a big jazz performer also. We'll have a kind of an early first answering or asking of the quiz question, and then we'll be back with Mark Valenti and the work of Franz Schubert right after this here on WPR. Back now in our Buck studio, where we will get a kind of a sneak preview of today's quiz question, but you can go ahead and weigh in with your answers now. First, a review of yesterday's quiz question, which went like this. Popularized in the Pacific Islands, this apparel was named after a nursery rhyme character. These long-sleeved, loose-fitting gowns or smocks were named after Mother Hubbard. They are called Mother Hubbards, and they're still very much with us today in the West. They were popularized in the Pacific by missionaries. That was yesterday's question. Here's today's. The family in this book drives much of Route 66 at 35 miles an hour. What book is that? Very famous book. The family in this book drives much of Route 66 at 35 miles an hour. Identify the book in the next 30 minutes, and maybe you'll win the prize today. Email your answer to us, as usual, at midday@wpr.org, or you can call 1-800-442-7106. And in a couple of minutes, anyway, if not right away, you can give your answer to Sam when you call in. And we'll see who wins our prize from among our correct respondents, as usual, just before 1 o'clock. And now back to my guest here in the Buck studio, Mark Valenti. And having heard from Claude Debussy, now the other composer on your program for today, Franz Schubert. And anything in particular make you decide to couple these two today, Mark?
The contrast, I find them both very colorful. I think they're both very good examples of colorful pieces from the different from a different century. And the length is very similar. The layout is very similar. And I don't think about these things too consciously, but when I step back and think about them, I notice there's a lot, you know, there's a lot good about the pairing. There's a lot that works well between the pairing, and it often hits me. I kind of pick it subconsciously, kind of pick it by feel, and then I have to explain it to anybody, I start to realize there's all these relationships that are that work very well together.
And so we're going to actually hear an entire Schubert sonata. We'll hear the first movement and then the second and third movements as a pair. And starting with this first movement, Allegro Moderato, this is a late work by Schubert, 1825.
It's actually... I think it's actually, is that the right date? I think it's earlier.
It's the date you gave me, but I have also
seen it's earlier in his works. I don't think it's a late work. It has a late opus because it was published late.
Yeah, those opus numbers are tricky, aren't they?
Right. So, but I'm not exactly sure.
Well, you mentioned, I think at one point, an 18-year-old.
Oh, well, he was, he was 22 when he wrote this, and he had a pretty young girl of 18 in mind, and that's quite obvious throughout.
And that will come out in this first movement, then?
The first movement has the typical long, flowing, lyrical melodies, but very pretty, and kind of reminds me of a young couple's courting.
Well, that was Schubert. You can see why Franz Schubert was known in his lifetime primarily as a songwriter. Such a gift for melody, and sometimes just so simple and loving.
He had a real knack for it.
That was the first movement of the three movements of the Sonata in A by Schubert, which he would have written at the age of 22, we decided. And he had a lot more music in him after that. And we have a lot more music from Franz Schubert. In fact, we'll be hearing the rest of that sonata. And a repeat of the quiz question, too, after this, here on WPR. And we were hearing you guys earlier.
Were you?
Yeah. Not during the playing, but early on.
Well, that's no good. Sorry about that. It's a little higher for you. Would that get in your way of playing?
Yeah, I'll still have to move it a little, but that's fine.
Okay.
And you want to play the last two together?
Is that what
we, okay, that's fine. We're good for time. And we're back with our quiz question for today, which goes like this. The family in this book drives much of Route 66 at 35 miles an hour. What book is that? The family in this book drives much of Route 66 at 35 miles an hour. Identify the book in which that happens in the next 19 minutes by emailing us at midday@wpr.org, or you can call 1-800-442-7106 and give your answer to Sam today, and we will determine who from among our correct respondents wins today's prize. That's going to happen just before 1 o'clock, and now we're back in our Buck studio with live music, courtesy of pianist Mark Valenti, and we've heard Debussy so far this hour, and wonderful contrast, you know, as much as you can really get into the mood of Debussy, once you start to hear those melodies of Franz Schubert, it's like it's a different world, but a wonderful contrast. And then speaking of contrasts, we'll be hearing the second and third movements of this sonata in A, and what can you tell us about those, Mark?
Well, the second movement is very poignant and touching, basically a love song to me. And the third movement is full of his youthful exuberance. It has a little bit of a Viennese waltz feel to it, and he kind of hams it up quite a bit throughout.
Okay, here we go. You're going to smile when you hear that. You're right. That's Franz Schubert showing off, doing cartwheels, whatever. It's almost like the kind of Scaramouche that Millot would have written 100 years later, you know, this clowning around, the little theme that keeps recurring. Could you, Mark, just by looking at the score of this, realize how crazy it is in terms
of... it's you can obviously see the textures, the runs, and the figures, and how he's kind of hamming it up as he goes.
Now, Schubert, it's almost hard to believe sometimes, was a contemporary, a younger contemporary of Beethoven.
I mean, right.
Actually, Beethoven, both of them signed out in the 1820s, you might say.
Right.
And Schubert's in Vienna. Beethoven was in Vienna, of course, before him, Mozart and Haydn, all in Vienna. What's Schubert doing that you wouldn't have found in Beethoven in particular, say?
I think the incessant lyricism. Lyricism is first. It's always present. It's the essence, to me, of his music. His music is built around this lyricism.
Well, as I think we mentioned earlier, he was known during his life as a songwriter and not a composer of theater music or symphonies or even masses. And he does seem to have this irrepressible songwriter in him.
I wonder if he was irritated with that label as Debussy was irritated with the label of Impressionism.
There is some evidence from accounts that Schubert, yes, was annoyed with that. And the symphonies, if they got played at all during his lifetime, it would have been privately, I think. And in some cases, these things weren't even rediscovered until long after Schubert's lifetime. He was a person of considerable more dimension than we realize, but a lot to discover in the piano sonatas of Franz Schubert. And in his later sonatas, you have a sense that he's getting more serious and more extended and deeper in his thinking?
Yes, that's fairly obvious. I'm wondering, kind of out loud, if that was influenced by Beethoven's big sonatas, because this is kind of in the middle of the last four or five sonatas that Beethoven wrote, and plus the Ninth Symphony, and so you see a much bigger scale, and but again, I don't think he ever parts from the lyricism. I think that's just in his blood.
Yeah, Schubert certainly would have been aware of Beethoven. I'm not sure Beethoven was aware of Schubert.
No, though. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure that he was.
Yeah.
As tight as that musical life in Vienna was. And what's next up for you, Mark?
Oh, I have pretty much a school year calendar, so it's nice to have the a month or two off and kind of learn some new music for my next season. And working on Prokofiev's Eighth Sonata.
Oh.
And one of the late Beethoven sonatas. There's another interesting pairing, A major opus 101 of Beethoven with the Prokofiev's Eighth Sonata.
Wow.
And I haven't quite decided. I'm sure I'll throw some Debussy in there, as I can never resist. And probably some romantic pieces. I think I'm going to do a set of Schumann. And I'm getting that ready for the fall.
Well, I have to say that Debussy certainly is one of your strongest suits.
Well, he's my favorite.
Oh, is it? Okay, well, it shows. You have a real affinity for Debussy. And that gets us pretty close to the results of our quiz question for today. Do you have any public performances coming up, Mark?
I start up again in September, and I'll be playing a few in the Bay Area. And, I play all around U.S. and Canada, so
wow.
I actually don't remember my schedule very well.
That's okay, but you do come up to the Madison area and perform occasionally,
yes,
too.
Yes, I'll be up here probably in December. That's traditionally when I come.
We'll be watching out for that. Thanks for coming up today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.